From Hollywood, California, and an Allied base somewhere in the Pacific, Autolite brings you Everything for the Boys, the command theater of the air, starring Mr. Ronald Coleman and his guest for tonight, Miss Dinah Shore. Everything for the Boys is presented by the Electric Autolite Company and its 22 great manufacturing plants. Builders of precision equipment for 35 years. World famous for Autolite spark plugs, batteries, wire, cable, and electrical systems for automotive, aviation, and marine use. And now, here is your host, Ronald Coleman.
Thank you and good evening. Our guest tonight is the popular singer and actress Dinah Shore. We present Arch Oboler's original radio drama, The House I Live In, suggested by the song by Earl Robinson and Lewis Allen. After the play, we'll talk by shortwave with two American soldiers at an island base in the South Pacific. To them and to all the fighting men and women of the United Nations, we dedicate this global half hour.
Our national war effort is made up of the personal war effort of every worker. The more we do individually, the quicker the final victory. And that's the spirit of thousands of men and women in Autolite plants in the United States and Canada. Take the collection of waste paper as an example. Autolite people know how important it is to salvage waste paper. The many items of munitions and ordnance they manufacture are packed in paper containers and wrappings. To help overcome the shortage, a planned drive brought in more than 88,000 pounds of paper at one Autolite plant alone. Buying more war bonds, contributing to the Red Cross, donating to the blood bank, their stay-on-the-job attitude are other shining examples of their eagerness to do a little more to help win the war. Yes, with Autolite men and women, it's a personal war. Won't you join them by doing just a little more toward building a free world, a better world? Now, Mr. Coleman again.
Memorial Day, 1944. Ladies and gentlemen, a few words from the late Stephen Vincent Benet, American poet and patriot. What do the people say? Well, you've heard some questions and some answers. Not all, of course. No man can say that's all. A man's a humbug if he says that's all. But look in your own minds and memories and find out what you find and what you'd keep. It's time we did that, and it won't be earlier. I don't know what each one of you will find, what memory, what token, what tradition. It may be only half a dozen words carved on a stone, carved deeper in the heart. It might be all a life, but look and find it. Sun on Key West, snow on New Hampshire hills, warm rain on Georgia, and the Texas wind blowing across an empire, and all part, all one, all indivisible and one. Find it, and keep it, and hold on to it. For there's a buried thing in all of us, deeper than all the noise of the parade, the thing the haters never understand and never will, the habit of the free. Out of the flesh, out of the minds and hearts of thousand upon thousand common men, cranks, martyrs, starry-eyed enthusiasts, slow-spoken neighbors, hard to push around, women whose hands were gentle with their kids, and men with a cold passion for mere justice. We made this thing, this dream, this land unsatisfied by little ways, open to every man who brought goodwill, this peaceless vision, groping for the stars. Not as a huge devouring machine rolling and clanking with remorseless force over submitted bodies and the dead, but as live earth where anything could grow. Your crankiness, my notions, and his dream grow and be looked at. Grow and live or die, but get their chance of growing and the sun. We made it, and we make it, and it's ours. We shall maintain it. it shall be sustained. We shall maintain it. It shall be sustained. We want to tell you about the house John Rogers lives in. We want to tell you how the house that had been his lost its walls and all the rooms were filled with rubble and a dust arose. And when he looked again, the house was gone.
Was it a bomb that fell?
Bomb? A bomber over Elm Street, USA? No.
But you say his house disappeared. How did it happen?
We are going to tell you. For John Rogers, the morning began as so many others had begun since Tom and Elsa had gone. Again, he hadn't slept. He had opened the front door and stood on the front porch and watched the daylight slowly wake up the street. It had rained during the night. He had listened to every drop. And now the light lit up the wet leaves as the trees shook themselves in the morning wind. Another day, and he was waiting for 8 o'clock.
Sorry, Mr. Rogers. Nothing today. Maybe it'll come tomorrow. You know, it takes a long time for a letter to get to Elm Street from Japan.
John Rogers went back into the house. Chairs, table, sofa, the piano that Elsa had played. He went upstairs. Tom's room, just as it had been. His bed, his typewriter on the desk, his track shoes hanging from the side of the chair he had made in manual training. Elsa's room. The silly room, he'd called it, with its frippery, billowing curtains, flounces on the dressing table, at which she'd sat so many times, covering with glamour a face that was so very young. Everything as it had been, but now a place he couldn't stay in. Out into the street, to walk, as he had done so many times before, until the circle of his aimless steps brought him back to this empty house he lived in.
Rogers, can I walk with you, Mr. Rogers?
The miller's boy suddenly was there, walking alongside of him.
I got a new harmonica.
Have you, son?
Do you play the harmonica?
No.
I can. My ma said please get out of the house if you're going to play that. I got a headache. What a headache, Mr. Rogers.
Loud noises. Unnecessary conversations. Worries.
You got worries, Mr. Rogers?
Play your harmonica, son.
Okay.
The small boy kept playing as he walked. And suddenly John Rogers realized that the boy's eyes were on him as if he wanted to say something, yet was afraid to speak. And then he did speak.
You take such big steps, Mr. Rogers.
Oh, sorry. That better?
Yes.
No school today, son?
You didn't know it was Saturday.
Sometimes one day gets to be like another.
Mr. Rogers, listen. You just wait. Jimmy Doolittle, he'll go over with 1,000 flying forts and he'll get Tom away from those Japanese. Honest, he will.
And then the boy was gone, and John Rogers kept on walking. Then, this thought. The boy, this neighbor boy, his meeting and walking with him, had it been accidental? No, the boy had wanted to walk with him and say what he had said.
1,000 flying fortresses, headed up by Superman, I suppose, with Tarzan of the Apes leading a charge of elephants toward my son's prison camp.
Good morning, Mr. Rogers. How are you this morning? I'm your neighbor, Mrs. Gibson.
A woman, yes, a neighbor. John Rogers had seen her once or twice as he'd walked by. And now she was there walking with him, a grocery bag on her arm, and talking to him.
It must have rained quite hard last night.
Yes, it did.
All the rain this spring has certainly done wonders for our lawns. I've noticed yours. It's very lovely.
Yes.
Of course, the whole problem is to get someone to do the mowing.
Well, if the grass grows tall, there'll be no harm.
No, of course not. Mr. Rogers, I wonder if I could ask you something.
Yes?
Well, I know your daughter Elsa's been overseas for a long time, but my daughter Peggy's joining up, and you can understand how excited I've been, and I was wondering if you could tell me anything that...
You were saying?
I was just finding an excuse to talk to you. Peggy's joined up and gone, and I've watched you walk by my house every day, and today I started off to market just at this time so that I could have an excuse to tell you that... Then Mr. Gibson and I'd like very much to have you come to dinner some night this week. No, don't say yes or no now. Think about it. And whenever you'd like to come over, just let us know. Goodbye.
John Rogers had walked along this street morning after morning. Hundreds of mornings from the day after the news came that Tom might not be back, and Elsa left the house to join up. Morning after morning, and always it had been alone. And now this. A boy, a woman, childish prattle, feminine dinner-making. What was this today? Suddenly, he heard that tune again. The one the boy had been playing. One of the houses along the street. A colored woman singing as she swept the front porch.
The house I live in, a plot of earth, a street. The grocer and the butcher, and the people that I meet. The children in the playground, the faces that I see. All races, all religions, that's America to me. The house I live in, my neighbors white and black. The people who just came here, or from generations back. The town, the hall, and the soapbox. The torch of liberty. A home for all God's children. That's America to me.
The house I live in. But the house John Rogers lived in was an empty house.
It's a wonderful song, isn't it, Mr. Rogers?
A voice.
Who?
John Rogers turned and saw it was Anne. His son Tom's Anne.
I said that's a wonderful song.
Oh, hello, Anne. How've you been?
Fine, Mr. Rogers, fine.
I haven't seen you for quite some time.
Almost a year.
Has it been that long?
Yes, it has.
Well, you see, I've been very busy, and I'm sorry I've wanted to get over to see you, but it's just been one of those things.
Well, I know your war work, and yet we kept hoping you'd find time to come visit us.
Well, I'm sorry, dear. I just don't get out these days at all.
And yet each morning you come out of the house and walk the street.
How did you know that?
I've watched you. We all have. You're very lonely, Mr. Rogers.
Why, yes, I am.
I was, too.
Was? A letter. Yes, you've heard from Tom. What is he...
No, there's been nothing. It's just that, well, I'm not lonely anymore.
I see. You mean your work. I've tried that. It just isn't quite enough.
I stopped being lonely the day one of the neighborhood women, stopped me on the street and asked me where she and some of the others could send Christmas packages to Tom.
Our Tom?
Yes, ours.
Why, I didn't know.
Tom mattered to a lot of people on this street. Yes, and I suddenly began to realize that he mattered on many other streets where they didn't know his name or who he was. Because Tom wasn't just ours anymore. What had happened to him mattered to everybody back home who had a sweetheart. Or a husband. Or a son.
In a moment, the house that John Rogers lived in lost its walls, and all the rooms were filled with rubble and a dust arose, and when he looked again, his empty house was gone. Suddenly a new house arose, and it was filled with people. All the people to whom Tom mattered, even though they'd never seen him or didn't even know his name. All the people whose hearts were filled with the work and the troubles and the hopes of this war that John Rogers' son and daughter, yes, and he, were fighting. So this is the house we live in, a house of people. And there can be no walls, for sorrow knows no walls, and determination knows no walls, and there are no walls for faith.
Ladies and gentlemen, you have just heard The House I Live In, an original radio drama by Arch Obler. The leading roles were taken by Ronald Coleman and his guest, Dinah Shore, with Lillian Randolph, B. Benaderet, and Joseph Kearns. The original music was written and conducted by Gordon Jenkins. The song, The House I Live In, is by Earl Robinson and Lewis Allen.
Well, Dinah, in a few seconds, we'll be on our way to an advance base in the Pacific.
And it's all done with a turn of the dial.
Yes, and so far, we've had wonderful luck with our short waves.
Now, Mr. Coleman, we're clearing the circuit now.
All
ready,
right,
sir?
Yes, now just put on your earphone, Dinah, and we'll turn the dial that spins the globe. Here goes. This is Dinah Shore and Ronald Coleman calling an advance base in the Pacific. This is Hollywood calling. Come in, fellows.
Hiya, Hollywood. This is Corporal Imanowski of the United States Marine Corps.
And this is Coxswain Frank Nadwin of the United States Navy. And the Marines are okay, too.
Yeah. And I have someone right here beside me who's okay, too. Fellas, this is Dinah Shore.
Hiya, fellas.
You mean it's really you, Dinah?
Sure, it's me. I got my boots laced, too, to coin a phrase.
Look, fellas. We called your families, and everybody's fine, and they all send their love.
And they've been betting their money straight across the board on you and all the boys over in the Pacific.
And boy, did we pick a winner. His name is Clara.
His name is Clara?
Yes, ma'am. Well, Clara is the name of my water buffalo.
Water buffalo? Look, Jack, what kind of talk is that?
Well, you see, Dinah, I'm crew chief of an amphibian tractor, and that's called a water buffalo. But we call it Clara. Well, sometimes we call it Dear Clara, and sometimes we call it... Well, we just call it.
Well, now, tell me, how's Clara feeling, Leo?
Well, just fine, Mr. Coleman. Well, Clara made 36 landings in a Marshalls and brought all the men ashore safely and a lot of ammunition, supplies, and food to the beachhead.
That's a new twist on the pinup girl. Well, I've got a song for Clara, and it's called It Had to Be You. It had to be you. It had to be you. I wandered around and finally found somebody who could make me be true, could make me be blue. And even be glad just to be sad thinking of you. Some others I've seen might never be mean, might never be cross or try to be boss, but they wouldn't do, 'cause nobody else gave me a thrill. With all your faults, dear, I love you still. It had to be you, wonderful you. It had to be you.
How was that, Leo?
On the beam. And I'm glad it had to be me, Dinah.
Hey, Sailor. I mean, Frank, are you still there?
Yes, ma'am. Just as mellow as cello, ma'am.
Frank, your wife told us that you've been a coxswain in landing barges, that you were in the first wave in the Sicily invasion, in the second wave at Tarawa, and the fourth wave at Kwajalein.
And not only that, you got all your men ashore, except a couple of men who were wounded at Tarawa.
Yeah. And I broke my own foot at Kwajalein.
Oh.
How do you like that?
Well, how are you feeling now, Frank?
Wonderful. But I feel even more wonderful if Miss Short sing another song.
Well, there's a little number about a solid gal named Tess, if you don't mind.
Mine? Are you kidding? I'm out of my mind.
Well, all right. Play, Gordy. I had a man, he was a good
good man. That is, you see, what I mean is I thought he was a good man. I had a friend. She was a good friend. I told my friend about my man, 'cause I thought she was a good friend. Life was sweet. Didn't I have my man? My world complete. Then the fireworks began. Ain't got no man. Ain't got no friend. I'll bet you can guess just exactly what happened. That was the end. The end of my friend. The end of my man. And darn near the end of me.
Well, did you get it, Frank?
Got it, thanks.
Time's up, Mr. Coleman.
Well, that's it, fellas. That's all for now.
Oh.
Well, it's been great fun.
Yeah, terrific. It's just been terrific.
Good night, and good luck, boys.
Good night, and God bless you, fellas.
Good night.
The Army and Navy need more nurses. We have been asked by the Red Cross to urge all nurses to register at their nearest Red Cross chapter as soon as possible. There's an immediate, pressing need for hundreds of trained nurses. Nurses, you may mean the difference between life and death to our wounded soldiers. Won't you enlist and help save their lives?
Next week, Autolite cordially invites you to another program of Everything for the Boys. Your new global half hour, uniting the home front and the battle fronts overseas. Your host, Ronald Coleman, will have as his special guests Jimmy Durante and Hosea Turby in a program dedicated to a pair of fighting Yanks who will speak by shortwave from their base in the South Pacific.
Our thanks to Dinah Shaw. Until next week, when Hosea Turby and Jimmy Durante will be our guests, this is Ronald Coleman saying goodnight to you and the boys, and God be with you.
Everything for the Boys is shortwaved all over the world. This is Frank Martin saying good night for Autolite.
This program has come to you from Hollywood and a base in the Pacific. This is the National Broadcasting Company.